Hi, this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. All right, today we interview Daniel Woodrum, the head coach of our Fatherpreneur business coaching program. He has known me for 10 years. He's been a very successful student, and now the student has become the teacher. So let's jump into it. All right, Daniel, welcome to the show. This is going to be a lot of fun, my man.
Yes, I'm excited to be here, Craig. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so let's just do a quick, you know, I know we're going to get into like, here's what we discovered in the Discipline Entrepreneur event that we just had recently, the biggest problems that you know, father entrepreneurs are facing in being able to make a lot of money and, you know, use that money to buy back their time for their family. But what's been your journey from, you know, a single guy running the nine-round kickboxing gym to the serial entrepreneur you are today with two kids and a happy marriage?
Yeah. So I went to college at the University of South Carolina and went for sports marketing. Thought I wanted to work for a baseball team and be the next Jerry Maguire. And in college, I did an internship at a gym, a specialized gym that trained athletes. And they were supposed to have me help with the marketing department. It was a new company. They didn't know what they were doing. So they threw me on the gym floor to train these professional athletes. We had college and professional athletes. And so while it was not an ideal situation, I realized that I had a passion for fitness and I absolutely loved it. And after I graduated from college, that facility actually hired me on to be a full-time coach there. And then just through a couple of relationships that I had there at the gym, I ended up moving to Charleston to open up a couple of nine-round gyms, sold those. Of course, during this time, I discovered Craig. I always like to share the story, Craig, of I found Craig by typing in Google in college, how to get six-pack abs. And Craig pops up with Terminal Training. And got in his email newsletter and then started following him and met him out in San Diego at the first TT Summit, I guess 2011, maybe, I think, in
yeah,
San Diego.
I think so.
Yeah. And then we started that relationship, obviously. And then, you know, Craig, you and I, we opened up a couple of Fit Body boot camps here in South Carolina with my wife, Brittany. And now I have two kids. I've got a daughter, Bleece, who's 3.5 years old, and then a son, Banks, who's 15 months old. So it's definitely been a wild journey, a lot of ups and downs, but. You know, they say that the best lessons are through experience. And so I've had a lot of experience over the years.
Yeah. What are some of the biggest mistakes that you made in combining the two, being, a father and being an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I think a lack of planning and preparation would be one. I've always been a hard worker, but I would always just be busy. I wouldn't be productive. And so I think being able to better plan and focus, like you've talked about, Craig, of focusing on accomplishment, not activity. Mm-hmm. Instead of having 15 things on the to-do list, just have two priorities on the to-do list or the accomplishment list, if you will. Knock those things out first, and then you can get to some of the other things that still need to get done, right? But they're not important. They're not money later projects or tasks. So that would be one thing. And then the biggest thing for me, Craig, as far as tying in business and family, it's just communication with my wife. Yeah. We went through a lot of struggles, obviously being business owners together and then trying to run a family. We had a lot of arguments, a lot of tough times. And I would say it's only been the last 18 months. We've really put a lot of focus on communication, planning together with our calendars. And that's been an absolute game changer for us.
Yeah. So one of the things that I remember you and Brittany doing was that, you know, when you were hardcore and running the gym together, I think you set a cutoff time during the day for when, you know, you're no longer allowed to talk about the gym. What worked in that aspect, and what have you continuously refined?
Yeah, that's a great question. So yeah, we were, you know, coming home, we would be at the dinner table with the kids talking about work, right? We didn't know how to separate work and family life and personal life. And so it was a lot of arguments, just a lot of conversations. We realized we weren't actually having family time. It's kind of like you say, we were there, but we weren't really focused and present. And so we said, hey, when we're home after 5 o'clock, when the kids are up, we're not going to talk about work. Now what we do is we don't talk about work from 5 till about 7:30 when we put the kids down. And then sometimes after the kids go down, if there's anything to discuss for the next day business-wise, we certainly will address that. But we've had to set those boundaries and parameters in place in order to have, you know, to separate the family and the business.
Yeah. So then with respect to your phone, what do you guys do with your phones?
Yeah, so great question. So I like a lot of people, I've been addicted to my phone. And so now what I do is once we get home, I cut off work at 5 o'clock. It's a non-negotiable. Once I cut off work at 5 o'clock, I actually put my phone in the bedroom. For a while, I actually had my wife, Brittany, hide my phone because, again, I was addicted to it. Like, I would literally do whatever I could to get on my phone, whether social media, emails, you know, YouTube. I don't know if you guys saw the Netflix series on the craziness they do with the social media, but it is addicting. It's crazy. So that was one extreme that I had to take for a while. Now I've got a little bit more control. I still put my phone in my bedroom, until the kids go to bed. So that's about a 2.5 hour kind of, device free, daily ritual that I do now. And it's really helped out. And I think I shared with you, Craig, on the 1 day workshop, recently that I think the turning point for me was I was on my phone on the couch, supposed to be spending time with my daughter, and Blee said, "Daddy, put your phone in your pocket." And when a 2.5-year-old tells you that, like, it just sunk my heart. And I was like, "Oh my God, I have a problem, and yeah, I need to fix this," you know?
Yeah. And you know what you shared about hiding the phone, sometimes you have to go to those extreme measures in order to, you know, use it as a circuit breaker, because it is addiction. And it's very much like someone going cold turkey, going into rehab for alcohol or drug addiction. Like, that is a circuit breaker. And Everybody listening to this who struggles with their phone, you might not think you have a problem at that level, but it's so subconscious how often we check our phones. So don't be afraid to do that, to put the phone away and turn it off for a big block of time every day. I think it's a wonderful thing to do. Now, switching from the mistakes that you and I have made in our own lives to over to what we learned about at the 1 day discipline entrepreneur workshop, we had, 20 fathers in there. A lot of them were struggling with time. What did you see as the common mistakes that they were making that, a lot of our listeners are going to resonate with?
Yeah. Everybody, when everybody has a blank slate of calendar, and hopefully you guys are mapping out your next week, everybody puts the business and the work stuff first in the calendar, and then they try to fill in the personal stuff. And you need to reverse that. It should be the exact opposite. You need to put the personal non-negotiables in the calendar first, right? Put all that stuff in the calendar first, then you can fit in the business stuff. Because, Craig and I's goal is we want you to build your business around your life, not your life around your business. That was one thing that a lot of the entrepreneurs that were on the workshop and a lot of coaching clients that worked with us in the beginning, that's what their biggest struggle is. And that's something that we can quickly help them change right away. So for example, for me, and Craig, you've talked about this, as I do a donut date every week with my daughter, right? So every single Wednesday morning, we do a donut date. And it's a non-negotiable. It goes on the calendar. I don't do anything else around that time, because that time is the most precious time of the week for me. It's something that means a lot to me that I started about 1.5 years ago. And that's a non-negotiable. That goes in the calendar, right? Mm-hmm. All the personal workouts go in the calendar. Date night with my wife, we do that 2 times per month right now on Thursday nights. That goes in the calendar. All the personal stuff goes in the calendar. And then I fit the business stuff in the calendar after that. And I think if people could just understand the power of that and create different systems to have the discipline to do that, it's an absolute game changer.
Well, you talked about putting the weekly calendar together. I think that a lot of people might even be new to that. So walk us through, first of all, the way that I look at it is, first of all, you have to get a general template for how your week should look. And then what's the weekly planning look like, where you put the specifics in there? And how do you combine work and, the running around of the kids to all their various activities?
Yeah, great question. So the first thing that I always put on the calendar is, like, when is my wake up time? And luckily for me that my wake up time's at 4 a.m. every single day. It's just become a habit for me. Again, I'm not saying you have to get up at 4 a.m. We have clients that get up at 7 or 8 a.m. and they have success, right? And like we always talk about, it's not the time you get up, it's what you do during that time that you are up. Mm-hmm. So don't think you have to get up at 4 a.m., but you need to have that wake up time. It needs to be on your calendar first, right? That's one thing. You need to get that newy work in, what we call the non-urgent important work, or the magic time, the thing that you need to get done right in the morning that are going to help set yourself, your business up for success in the long run. We're not talking about the urgent things where you're, checking emails, checking social media, making Facebook posts. It needs to be the big projects, the big tasks that you can attack first thing in the morning, because when you win your morning, the rest of your day is a lot easier to win, right? So that would be the first. Yeah. So that would be the first couple of things that we talk about. You also want to put in the bedtime. When are you going to go to bed, right? So whether for me, that's 9 o'clock. It's a bedtime. And I will say that with kids, sometimes I don't have full control when I go to bed. I try to get to bed at 9 o'clock. It's not perfect, but even if I go to bed at 9:30 or 10, I'm getting up at 4 a.m. the next day, right? Like the wake up time is an absolute non-negotiable. The bedtime, there might be some buffer in there just with family dynamics, everything going on. But no matter what time I go to bed, I'm getting up at 4 a.m. the next day. That way that I can keep that rhythm going, because to me, that's the most important thing.
Well, let's talk about that. So, you know, you have a couple of kids and they can drop bombs in all types of ways. How do you bounce back from, you know, starting in the morning? You've got your morning routine, your 4 a.m., you want to do some work. What happens when they're up at night sick or they're up earlier than you expect? How do you bounce back?
Yeah, no, great question. So typically what I do is my wife is more of a night owl. So if the kids get up late at night, she actually will take care of the kids. Because she's already, a lot of times she won't go to bed till 11 or 12 o'clock. That's just her, her time to herself. Yeah. Not ideal, but everyone's different, right? That works for her. Where I, you know, I go to bed, like I said, I go to bed early. So if the kids are up in the morning time, usually I'll take the kids and I'll take charge of the kids if they get up at, you know, 3 o'clock, 2:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. Whereas if they're up a little bit later on, maybe 1 o'clock, midnight, my wife will take care of them. So that's kind of the rule that we have. But again, even if the kids, which a lot of times banks, which he's taking a nap right now, right? So like, even if the kids are up in the middle of the night and I don't get a lot of rest, I still get up at 4 o'clock. That's just, it's an absolute non-negotiable for me. Nothing's going to get in the way of that.
Yeah. What do you think you'll do when, you know, Belize and banks have sports till 9 or 10 o'clock at night?
No, I mean, it's going to happen. I've got a lot of clients that are going to, that warn me about that. But you know, look, if I have to push it to 4:30, maybe I push it to 4:30, but for now it's 4 o'clock. And, again, everyone's different. For me, like if I get 6 or 6.5 hours of sleep, I'm good. But I know some people that need 7-8 hours of sleep. I think though, if you can get in that rhythm, you'll find that you don't need quite as much sleep. A great example, Craig, one of our coaching clients, Scott Knight, he was sleeping 8.5-9 hours a night. He's like, I need that much rest. And I didn't say anything to him at first. I'm like, hey, I think you're going to realize that if we can be more consistent with the wake up time and bedtime, you won't need that much sleep. Right. And now he's getting 7 or 7.5 hours of sleep. And he says he feels more rested than ever because he's more consistent with it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly. And then how do you plan out your morning? Like what are the details that allow you to have a great morning? And what have you taught your clients, you know, in our coaching program, their father entrepreneurs, what have you taught them to replicate your success?
Yeah. Well, and we always talk about, first of all, like successful morning starts the night or the evening before. So one thing that I'd always recommend is one thing that I do is at the end of my workday, I do three things. I evaluate the day. So like what went well during the day, what didn't go well, just kind of like a self-awareness, self-evaluation. I think that's important because a lot of times we don't take time to do that. I'll also do a brain dump. I'll just write out anything that's on my head, anything that's in my brain, something that I didn't get done, just write it out to kind of clear my mind. And then I set the two or three priorities that I'm going to attack the next morning. So that's what I do the night before, which allows me to set myself up for success in the morning. I also will go ahead and lay out my clothes. Like I do everything that I can in the evening time to make it as easy as possible for me to get up in the morning time, right? Yeah. So that way there's less stress, there's less obstacles. As far as in the morning, what I do is I set my phone across the room. So when my alarm goes off at 4 a.m., I have to actually get out of bed to get my phone to turn the alarm off instead of just, you know, rolling over, turning it, hitting snooze, because that's easy to do. Then what I do is once I turn my alarm, I actually go in the bathroom, turn the lights on and get some hot water and just rub it on my face. Like that's just a trigger for me to wake up. So yeah. I always tell my coaching clients, figure out something that kind of triggers you in the morning to get you going. It could be a cold shower. It could be a few jumping jacks, whatever it may be, something that's going to trigger you to get going in the morning, and not lay around, get on your phone. Another thing that I do is I actually don't check emails or social media the first hour. And what I do, Craig, again, it's like you said, it's more buffers in place. I actually turn the internet off my computer in the evening time. So when I wake up in the morning, I open up my computer, it's another buffer for me not to get on the internet. So I'll just spend an hour doing something on a Word document, whether it's writing emails, marketing campaigns, coaching emails, something that's not going to force me to be on the internet because I'm going to likely go to Facebook, YouTube, yep. ESPN, whatever it may be.
That's awesome. Okay, so then how do things go when the kids interrupt the after lunchtime? You know, so one of them gets sick, or you know, some, you know, there's appointments that have to be done that aren't normal. How do you bounce back, and when do you do that planning for the next day?
No, great question. Well, and that's another reason why I think, especially when you're a parent, it's important to attack the morning, because in the afternoon, there are going to be probably more appointments. There might be more kid activities, more unexpected things that could happen. So I used to get very frustrated in the afternoon if things didn't go my way, but I've kind of allowed myself to, hey, Daniel, it's more pressure for you to get all your important tasks done in the morning. That way in the afternoon, when things do come up, or there's appointments or kids get sick, whatever it may be, you're better able to adapt and handle that situation and still have won your day because you won your morning. So that'd be one thing that I would say. And also, I think it's just a matter of communication with your spouse if you are co-parenting. My wife and I do a good job of every single evening, we'll actually say, okay, what's the schedule for tomorrow? Even though we had the schedule mapped out, let's talk about the schedules. Daniel, you're going to pick the kids up. You know, Brittany, you know, you had this hair appointment. And we make sure that we're both on the same page. That way there's no confusion or arguments the next day when it's like, wait, I thought you're supposed to take the kid to school. We've already talked about that the night before and got our schedules aligned.
So you mentioned going to bed and getting up at the same time. That is definitely a huge victory for any parent to do as well as they can. If you only have the choice of one of those two, it's get up at the same time every morning, because that's research proven. It helps you sleep better and do all that sort of stuff and have more energy. Now, what are some other quick victories that fathers and moms and even, you know, busy single people listening to this can take from a busy entrepreneur's schedule and your clients' victories and apply ASAP?
Yeah. And I'm glad you said that, Craig, because I think sometimes we get overwhelmed because we think, oh my gosh, hearing Craig and Daniel talk, I have so many things I need to change with my schedule, my time management, my communication. Pick one small victory or one small low-hanging fruit that you can fix right away. So for example, if your ideal wake-up time is 6 o'clock and you're getting up at 7 o'clock, don't try to go from 7 to 6 because you're going to set yourself up for failure. Try to get up 5 minutes earlier, right? For the next week or two, because you might be thinking to yourself, well, what's 5 minutes going to do, Daniel? Well, externally, it might not do a whole lot, but internally, it's going to give you confidence. It's going to give you momentum, right? I always say compliance breeds confidence. So the more that you can focus on those small big victories and, you know, make a promise to yourself and actually hit it and complete it, then you're going to build some good habits, some discipline, and some confidence to continue on that path.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And, you know, what are some of the mindset issues that parents or entrepreneurs in general come to you with that you need to fix, whether it's around, you know, their lack of belief in getting things done, or whether it's their lack of, you know, their imposter syndrome, that sort of stuff? What are you seeing in entrepreneurs these days that, you know, you just spend so much time fixing?
I definitely think the imposter syndrome is big. Everybody looks on social media and everyone's, you know, painting this perfect picture and this great lifestyle and perfect parenting. And I always have to remind my coaching clients that that's not real life, right? That's just a highlight reel. Most people's Facebook is the highlight reel. Mm-hmm. So don't get caught up in the imposter syndrome, because that's definitely a big thing. And also think that, you know, it's funny, Craig, because we have a saying at ETR, success loves speed. And I certainly agree with that. But I also think that as entrepreneurs, as a byproduct, we always want that next thing. We're not patient. I think you can be patient and persistent. Those two things can be true. So I think sometimes is that, you know, we try to set unrealistic goals, and we're not able to accomplish those. So I think you've got to be patient. And that's why it's important to plan out and map out 30 days, 90 days, your 1 year vision. So you have that up there, right? And you can take daily action and know that you're making progress, instead of just trying to, you know, be impatient and set unrealistic goals, and then set yourself up for failure in the end.
Do you find that most people that you work with, have thought their vision out very much at all?
No, I mean, when I have people go to the vision, when they join our coaching program, a lot of times that's the first time they've ever done that.
Yeah. And what big breakthroughs do they tend to have? You know, do they have insights around, oh my gosh, I can't believe I was spending time on that? Or do they have more breakthroughs around, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that's what I really wanted and what I didn't want?
I think both. I think realizing what they wanted and didn't want, and also realizing, oh my gosh, I always knew I wanted that. But when I actually look at the actions that I'm taking, they're not aligning with that vision that I want 1 year or 5 years from now. I think that's a big thing. It's a misalignment.
So how do you get them aligned?
Great question. So the first thing I say is, okay, well, if this is your vision, let's look at the action that you're taking right now. Is that aligned, right? Is it aligned? And a lot of times it's not. And then it's like, okay, well, let's do this. What can we do in the next 24 hours to start aligning for that vision? And then 48 hours and 72 hours and start kind of building that roadmap there and getting small baby steps in order to go from this direction, right, to the other direction towards the vision that you want to go.
Yeah. One thing that you mentioned early in the interview, you know, when you were younger, or even, you know, up until a couple of years ago, is you're a hard worker. You got up, no planning, preparation, and you just kind of probably bounced from one thing to another. What do you see as being, you know, when it comes to activity and productivity, what do you see as being a common, you know, issue for new clients coming in and just the people that you speak with? And how can you get those folks on track as quickly as possible?
Yeah. I mean, I, one of the things I say is I do not want you to do a to-do list at all anymore. Like, you got to get rid of the to-do list, because I think it's just, to me, it's just a killer, because again, it makes you feel good, right? Because you check 20 things off the list, but when you go back and actually look at what you did, it was all admin tasks. It was all, we call, Craig, you know, $10 per hour task.
Yeah.
So one thing that I say is no more to-do list. It's just accomplishment list. There should be no more than 3 to 4 things on that list for each day. And then also it's two in the time journal too, Craig, right? So we have clients do a time journal, write out everything you're doing every 20 minutes for a day or two during your workday. And then we need to go through and figure out, okay, what of those tasks are $10, $15, $20 per hour tasks? And how can we start either delegating, automating, or deleting those tasks off of your plate? That way we can narrow it down to the big priorities and stay in your zone of genius, you know, as an entrepreneur and CEO of your business.
So a lot of people are going to resist that automate, delegate, and eliminate. How do you coach somebody to delegate this, you know, especially if they have a small team and they're, you know, very familiar with doing it all themselves, and they do have team members, or they do have the ability, you know, especially in this day and age, to go to any of the gig economy avenues. How do you help them finally release the golden handcuffs, as we say?
Yeah, I think one is remind them of your vision. Hey, if your vision is this 1 or 5 years from now, do you really think doing all these tasks is going to get you to that vision? So just putting that reality on them usually is one of the kind of the aha moments and said, yeah, you're right. Like, if I keep doing this, what got me here won't get me there type of philosophy. So that's one thing I would say. And two is, again, I'm all about picking the low hanging fruit, right? Some people might think, well, you know, you should start off delegating what's going to have the greatest return on your investment. But here's the problem is, what if that actual task that you're trying to delegate is so daunting, right, and so big that it's going to take you 3 or 6 months to try to delegate off? Why not pick the low-hanging fruit, that small little delegation or task that you can delegate right away? That's going to help you gain confidence in your team member, right? That's going to allow you to understand, okay, well, this is how I can delegate that off. Now I know what the process is like. And then we can start chipping away at some of those bigger tasks and delegating those off to other people, whether it's on your team or VA or whatever it may be.
So that leads to leadership, which, you know, you've done a great job as a leader over time in the Fit Body Bootcamp and that we own together and in our business. So how do you help, first of all, define good leadership as an entrepreneur, as a father entrepreneur, and let's actually define that good leadership and then say, how does that carry over into being a good leader at home too?
That's a great question. To me, a great leader is someone that can empower others. And then also a great leader to me is somebody that can let their ego go. And what I mean by that is, I think as entrepreneurs, we have this ego and we think that we're the best at everything. And I always have to remind people, like, 95% of the things that you're doing, other people can do just as well, is not better than you.
Yeah.
And just dropping that ego can be a big relief and realize that it's not all about you. In order to grow a business, you're going to have help. If you want to scale, you're going to have team members help you get there. So one is letting your ego go. And then two is being able to know where you want to go. If you don't know where you want to go in your business, how can you get other people to go there with you? How can you rally them? So that's number two. And then is expectations. I think a lot of times leaders lack the expectations for their team members is that whole circle of feedback, right? So there's a great podcast by Craig Rochelle, and he's got a receiving and giving feedback podcast. I'd recommend everybody checking on YouTube. It's like 20 minutes each way. And that YouTube video, Craig Rochelle.
Okay.
He's been mentored by John C. Maxwell. He's actually a preacher at a big church in Oklahoma. He's a business guy as well, but he's a really really talented guy and really smart leader. That was a game changer for me on just learning how to give proper feedback and create a feedback culture in your business, in your company. That way, you feel comfortable giving feedback, and then your team members, they thrive for feedback. They want feedback because they know that's how they're going to get better and that's how they're going to grow within your company.
How do you give feedback the right way? Like, you know, if somebody's coming in and they're thinking to themselves, I'm the boss and I tell people what to do, how do they get themselves to understand the better way of giving feedback? And how on earth do they get used to getting feedback and receiving it?
Great question. So one thing about, you know, when you're giving feedback, it's got to be timely. And I know this was a crutch for me for many years, is that I would see a coach doing something wrong or that was not met my expectations. And I would just let it go because like, oh, it's a small thing. I'm going to let it go, right? I'll address it later on because I don't like confrontation. I'm not a confrontational guy. So I would never address it. And then that little one thing would turn into a bigger thing and a bigger thing and a bigger thing, right? And then it was like I was scared to death to have that conversation. But if I would have had the conversation in the get-go, it would have been much easier to have that conversation. And that team member would have taken a lot more because like, well, Daniel, you let me get away with this for 6 months. Why are you now just telling me that I've been doing this wrong? So I think it's got to be timely. It's got to be specific, and you have to do it in a way where you take extreme ownership first. Hey, you know what? Perhaps I didn't do a good enough job of showing you the proper way to do this, so I'm going to take ownership of that. That's my fault. But moving forward, let's make sure that we do it like this. So I take ownership first, so they kind of drop, they let go of that barrier. And then also, if you notice, I don't say you, I say we or let's. So that way to combine team effort, and it's not like I'm pointing the finger at them. I'm really pointing the finger at me.
That's powerful. So then, you know, how do you start off those difficult conversations when you're having them with your kids? Your kids might not be old enough to have too many difficult conversations with, but how do you take that communication style and take it home?
That's a great question. I always try to turn it into a positive, and instead of saying something negative, I try to reframe it. And I'm trying to think of it to give an example. So let's say that my daughter is throwing a temper tantrum, which at 3.5 years old sometimes happens. Instead of just saying, you know, please stop that, it's like, please, let's make sure that we're not getting upset. That's not going to solve the situation. I guess that's a bad example, but basically what I'm saying is that instead of saying no, you need to reframe it into a positive, because that's what they're going to relate it to, instead of just always trying to, you know, reprimand them.
Well, you know, you have the daddy daughter donut day every Wednesday. Why don't you talk about the power of rituals with kids, but also then as a leader in the business and the meetings that you have with your team?
Yeah. So, and I don't know, I honestly don't remember why I decided to take my daughter to the first donut date about a year and a half ago. I remember it very vividly because we sat outside and I was like, man, this is such a fun experience. I should start doing this every single week. And that's kind of how it came about. And one thing that I also started doing was, and I'll explain why this is important, is I started sharing it on Facebook. So every single Wednesday, I would take a picture of us, like a selfie, and I'd post it in donut date. And the reason that I did that is because it's not that I was looking to try to brag or like put myself in a higher light in front of everybody. But what I was trying to do was I wanted that extra accountability system, because I knew if people expected it every single week, right? There might be a Wednesday morning where I'm like, oh, like I've got a lot going on, or I just don't have time for this, right? But I'm like, no, people expect to see a picture and to see a post every single Wednesday morning. And so that was really powerful for me. And so now I think I missed 2 Wednesdays in a year and a half for just, you know, various, emergency situations, but every single Wednesday morning we do a donut date. And it's been a great ritual. I'm sure I'll invite my son to it pretty soon. He's, I think, 15 months. So we'll maybe wait till he's two years old and we'll add him to that as well. And maybe even do like a bagel Friday, waffle Tuesday. I don't know. We'll see where we can go with that. As far as, you know, rituals with the team as well, as I'm all about consistency and one thing that I have to give you credit for, Craig, is your weekly team email that you send out. You send it out for, many years now. And that's something that I do. I know you send yours out on Wednesday to us. I send a weekly team email every single Friday to my team. It's a great way to communicate with my staff. It's consistent every single Friday. And it's a great way to align the team on, what's happened this past week, where are we going next week? It's also a great way for me to give shout outs to the team. I know for you, Craig, every time you send an email, I'm like, ooh, like I want to see who's Craig is highlighting this week. Yeah. And so I've really taken that as well, because I always like to say, what gets recognized gets repeated.
Yeah. So one of the things that you've always done a great job of is getting team events going for within your company. So, we talk about delegating to the team and rewarding them a little bit, recognizing them. How do you bring them together on great stuff like the Toys for Tots charity drive that you do? And how does that translate into a better business?
Yeah, great question. So one thing I do is I try every single quarter, we try to do some type of team outing or team gathering, whether it's going to the local minor league baseball game. We went Wow. to a soccer game maybe a month ago. We have a minor league soccer team here in Charleston, doing the soccer team. We've done bowling. We've done an escape room. We do charity stuff, Toys for Tots. Right now we're doing a food drive and we're trying to donate 2,021 pounds with our team and our gym as well. So I'm a big believer in giving back and then also having team gatherings, because I think it's really important to bring everybody together and to get outside of the work environment. And it's also cool too, because a lot of these team outings, we encourage our team members to bring their spouse or their kids as well, because I think it's important that the spouse and the kids get to see, right, the rest of the team, and oh my gosh, daddy's company or daddy's boss really cares about them. So I think that's really important as well, to get the entire family to buy in. And then one other thing that I'd recommend to you guys is something called structured randomness. So structured randomness, this is the way that I like to word it, is it's structured on my end as the business owner, but it looks random to either my team or my clients. So for example, every single month I try to do one structured randomness for my team. It could be providing coffee one day at work, right? It could be saying, hey guys, we're going to give you an extra hour pay on, or extra 2 hour pay on this pay period. I'm trying to think of other things that we've done. Hey guys, here's a $25 gift card to Zoe's Kitchen. So every single month, my wife and I try to plan out one thing for our team that exceeds their expectations that they don't know about. To them, it looks completely random, but to Britt and I, it's structured because we planned it out.
That's awesome. Now, how do you translate that into the stuff you do at home? Is there the same type of annual and monthly rituals that you put in place?
Yep. So my wife and I, this is something that we actually started this year, is once every 90 days, we do a little weekend getaway just for us, kid free. So we have one of our in-laws come in and watch our kids. A lot of times it's more like staycations. We'll just go, luckily we live in a beautiful city in Charleston. So, we'll go to a hotel or good resort and just stay for a night or two. So that's one thing that we started doing. And then also I try to apply that to home as well. What is one thing that I can do for my wife each month that she doesn't expect, right? So 2 weeks ago, I brought her flowers. Again, something small, right? But it can go a long way, especially if you've been married for 7 years. And you want to keep things nice and fresh and, keep things exciting in the relationship.
Yeah, that's amazing, my man. Really, really awesome. So what do you think that I haven't asked you about when it comes to being a great father entrepreneur? We talked about, improving personal discipline and, well, I guess actually on that, what about, how do you help the entrepreneurs that you work with also have great fitness, just helping them have good health? Because obviously you're a health expert. And even though that's not why people hire you for the business coaching, you have that aspect. So what's the common information or recommendation you give to the clients on that aspect?
Yeah, great question. So I always say is, what we talked about, when you're filling out your schedule, you need to put the workouts and the self-care in first. I always recommend people, let's start out working out 3 days per week, right? Because I see two things. One is I see entrepreneurs that are working out 6 days per week and they're at the gym for 90 minutes and they're just overtrained, right? They're already stressed to the max and they're overdoing it. So that's one extreme. Or I see other people that are not taking care of themselves at all and not exercising at all. So I always try to say, let's try to meet in the middle. Let's see if we can do 3 days per week. Another thing that I'm really bullish on, Craig, is I'm a big believer in taking daily walks. Now, I know it depends on where you live, the time of year, but I actually take 2 to 3 15-minute walks every single day. I usually take one mid-morning, one in the afternoon, sometimes one in the evening, depending on the weather and the time of year. I know, I think this weekend say like daylight saving time, so it'll start getting dark a little bit earlier, which is a little more challenging. But I believe in also taking little 10 to 15-minute walks throughout the day. If it's two or three times per day, even one time per day, get some sunlight, get some activity, get away from your screen. I don't take my phone or anything like that. It's just a walk just to kind of clear my mind, whether it's myself. I might even take one of my kids in the stroller or walk, or even take my wife, if the kids are at school or whatever it may be.
Yeah. And then what else did I miss asking you about in terms of making a father entrepreneur as successful as possible?
That's a great question. I think being a team player, I would even say as little as a year and a half ago, I wasn't helping out enough with my wife, and it kind of got to a boiling point where she got super frustrated. She finally just kind of had a breakdown. I was like, Daniel, like, I feel like I'm the one doing everything with the kids. Like, you're here, but you're not here. Remember I talked about, like, I'm on my phone. Maybe I'm in the living room and I'm not really paying attention to the kids, and she's having to deal with them and to take care of them. So I think just being a better team player, and even taking turns, like, okay, tonight you're going to you'll do the kids' bedtime. Tomorrow night, I'll do the kids' bedtime. And being co-parenting and having those open conversations, and saying, hey, if you're frustrated about something, talk to me about it. Like, let's not hold it in, because that's not going to solve any issues. Let's make sure that we get everything out on the table, and that we work together as a team. I can't imagine how single parents do it. I mean, my mom raised me by herself. My parents got divorced when I was super young. So I was raised by a single mom, and I don't know how she did it. So if you are a single parent out there, kudos to you. But you know what? I bet at the time my wife would have said she felt like a single parent, because I wasn't stepping up to the plate as a father. Thank God I was able to turn that around. And now we have a great relationship, obviously as spouses, but also as parents. But it took there were some rough patches there where, I think being the only child and being naturally selfish, I didn't really understand what it meant to be a good father. I love my father to death, don't get me wrong, but, he wasn't super active in my life. And so sometimes I think the way that your upbringing is, that's how you're naturally going to be as a parent. So I wanted to break that cycle, and I'm glad I did it sooner than later, because if we have, if we're going to have more kids, I'm sure, I don't want it to go down that road again.
And what do you do now in order to give Britt a break? Like, what do you guys have scheduled what's also random?
I'm so glad you asked that. Actually, one thing that we do now is when we're building out our weekly calendar, typically what we'll do is she'll block off 2 to 3 hours, 2 days per week for her. And I'll make sure that I block that time off in my schedule, so I don't have any calls, I don't have any meetings, anything going on. And that way she can go out, whether it's running errands, getting work done. I mean, she's obviously with the gym, she's an owner, and then she has her own little passion project, if you will, that she wants to work on as well. So just being able to have that in the calendar, and then me protect that time so she can have that time to herself, has been a big blessing for her and for me as well, because it allows me to have more time with the kids, because I'm more focused and I have to be fully focused on them, because I'm the only parent around during that time.
and if you could go back in time, Daniel, and give your pre-kid self advice, or give advice to the younger entrepreneurs, both men and women who are on here who want to, grow business and have a great family, is what would you have done different in preparing for this?
Man, that's a really good question, Craig. You hit me with that one. I think a couple things. I think one is, and I don't mean that you need to work harder, because you can still work smarter, but being on both sides of the fence of being an entrepreneur, not having kids, and then being an entrepreneur having kids, it's so much more challenging with kids, obviously, right? Because you have so many more responsibilities. You don't have nearly as much time because you have other responsibilities and obligations. So I would say one is if you don't have any kids right now, but you know you want to have a family, leverage this time right now that you have pre-kids, and leverage as much as you can, because you're not going to have nearly as much time as you think once you do have kids. That'd be one thing. And two is, I would say, go ahead and set that vision now. Like, don't wait until you have a family to set that vision. Set that vision now so you can start working towards that vision even before it comes to fruition. And maybe you're going to allow that vision to happen sooner because you've already put it into place and it's going to manifest itself.
Got it. Got it. And then, going back to the one-day entrepreneur event we did, we had 20 or so entrepreneurs in the room, you know, most of them doing multiple six figures, some of them doing seven figures, and some of them doing even more than that. And, you know, the common struggles and everything that they were asking about, was there any other lessons that you took from that day that you want to share right now?
You know, a lot of, some of them were a lot, I should say a lot more mature, so older in age. Yep. And I just feel like, man, if they would have known this stuff 10 or 15 years before, like imagine how much better off they would be, you know? Yeah. And it was, I kind of had that realization myself, like, oh my gosh, like, I mean, I'm 34 right now. And it's like, man, like, you know, I still need to, I need to be even more dialed in, because, you know, in 10 or 15 years, right? Like as I'm mature, like I don't want to look back and say, God, what if, or if I would have just done that, how much farther along, how much more experience, how much more financial freedom could I provide for my family and for myself? So that was kind of a realization moment for me of just looking ahead and being like, God, like I've got to be able to take action now. I don't want to wait until 10 or 15 years from now to live out my dreams.
And what does that look like, being more dialed in for you?
Yeah. So I think a couple things. I think one is continuing to eliminate the noise and the shiny object syndrome. I'm pretty clear as far as my vision and where I want to go, as far as where I want to be in 5 years, living at our dream home on Daniel Island. I've been very vocal about that. We want to have two more kids. I want to be able to continue to pour into this coaching program, to be able to build some other coaches under us, and be able to really grow it and work it on a higher level and create just an amazing coaching program, helping thousands of entrepreneurs all across the world live out their dreams. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I love the fitness industry, but I know that I have a higher calling. And so, you know, 10 years ago, I would have said, I want to be a gym owner forever. That's not where I want to be right now, right? In 10 years. So I think it's going to be a big pivot the next couple of years for me as far as where I want to take my career and where I want to have the greatest impact on others.
That's powerful. And so, you know, one of the things that you're doing right now are these one day workshops with entrepreneurs. When's the next one? And, you know, just give us a brief rundown of what that's like.
Yeah. So the next one's going to be on January 7th from, say, 10 a.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern time. And we can give you guys more information on that. We're going to have between 15 to 20 people on there. So it's a good number, right? You're going to get a lot of personal attention. We're going to have a lot of back and forth. It's very hands-on training. So we're going to start the day talking about working on your time management, building out your calendar. We're going to talk about your planning and your 1 year, your 5 year, 10 year vision. We're going to also get into some business things as well. So we'll do SWOT analysis. We're going to do a 16 profit cash activation, which is really cool, and how you can get some quick wins in your business. So it's a great combination of personal and professional. But what we found for the first experience, Craig, is that most people, it's the personal stuff that they need to figure out and they're struggling with the most. And that's going to solve a lot of the business problems.
Yeah, because once we open up that time in the morning, in the afternoons, so that they're working less and they're thinking more on the business, working more on the business, working less in the business, that's when it's a true life changer. So if you're interested in attending the one-day workshop, just email us at craig@craigballantyne.com. We'll get you all the details on that. If you're on our email list, you're going to hear all about it. It's going to be absolutely amazing. And we're going to continue to do them probably on a quarterly basis. So you definitely want to get in for the January 7th, 2022 one, because that kicks you off for a great year. But if you're listening to this in the future, then just again, email me at craig@craigballantyne.com and we'll make sure to tell you about the next one. Daniel, is there anything else that you want to share with anyone before we go?
Success loves speed.
Yes, absolutely. Success loves speed. So pause this podcast, email me immediately at craig@craigballantyne.com about the event. Daniel, it's always great chatting with you. It's great having you as the head coach of our business, because you are helping us just reach so many people and change so many lives. You know, you mentioned Scott from Australia. You have clients all over the world, in the UK, in Canada, America as well. And so just really, really grateful for these last 10 years that you've been a part of the team, man. So decade of Daniel 2 starts now, my man.
Cheers.
Here we go. Absolutely. All right, everybody. Hit me up on that email at craig@craigballantyne.com, and looking forward to seeing you at an event soon.